The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak to you this morning from the Gospel reading. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you in this Christmas season, we thank you for your marvelous plan of salvation. We thank you for the role that Anna and Simeon have in it. We pray that as we hear their story once again this morning, that you would bless us and grow us by it. In your precious name we pray, Lord God. Amen. Maybe not so much these days as people are leaving it longer to start their families, but in my day, my parents were older when they had me, their only son and final child out of three. Maybe they thought they reached perfection. Who knows? Dad was 40 and Mum was 35. And you know what that meant, don't you? By the time I was 15, that age when you just knew it all, Dad was 55 and Mum was 50. They were old fogies. They didn't know what on earth was going on in the world. Both of them only had a primary school education, so they were really behind the times. And being halfway through my teenage years and just finished junior level at high school, and being newly employed as an apprentice printer, I knew it all. Mum and Dad, they knew nothing. The guidance and advice they gave me was out of date. Now, it's not that I went off the rails and lived a rebellious life, but my parents really didn't know anything. And I'm wondering if, when you were 15 too, if you had that similar attitude about your parents. You know, one of the hardest lessons I learnt about growing up was that actually, in most cases, Mum and Dad were right. I had to eat some humble pie quite often. They may not have lived in the same world that I lived in, nor did they have the same education, nor were they as young and switched on as what I was, but they knew. And they knew because of the fact that they had learned life from the school of hard knocks. They had something I did not have at the ripe old age of 15, and that was experience. Nothing really beats experience in life, having been there and done that or seen that. The focus of many churches today is on youth and young families and somehow getting them in and keeping them in. And with this emphasis on the young, many elderly members of the church wonder what their role is and where they fit in the life of the church today. Many of you are in this category, and as such, with your long experience of the Christian life, there are many valuable contributions that you can make to the lives of the younger people in the church and in the community. Today we're going to focus upon the lives of two elderly people of faith. They are Simeon and Anna. And we're going to learn from them today under the theme of learning from those with experience. Now, in our gospel text, there is a young family, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, but they're not the main characters of the story. The text features two elderly people, Simeon and Anna, and they're making their appearance in the final acts of the Christmas drama. They don't appear in any of the nativity scenes, nor do they appear on Christmas cards or in manger scenes in churches, but they are significant players in the first Christmas pageant. And by the way that they live, they can show the elderly of the Christian faith how they can contribute to the lives of the young and how the young can learn important lessons of the Christian faith from those with experience. The scene of our text is the courtyard in the Temple of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple in order to dedicate him to God as he was their firstborn. It would have been about 40 days after Jesus' birth, as it was a Jewish law that women had to wait 40 days after the birth of the baby so they could go to the temple again and offer a sacrifice for their own purification. So Mary and Joseph were on the way into the temple to do this double duty when it happened. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So what do we find out about this elderly man Simeon from our text? First of all, because Anna spent most of her life in the temple worshipping, fasting and praying, it's often thought that Simeon did that too, but he didn't. He was a man in Jerusalem. He was a man from the suburbs, not the church. Out there in the suburbs, Simeon had a reputation of being righteous and devout. Righteous meaning one who does acts that are just and right towards others. Devout meaning one caught up doing what God calls good. Simeon was a man who had a good reputation in the community. It came from active, godly service of others. Now, a good reputation is important. And the elderly can teach the young how to gain a good reputation in the community. This can be done by acts of justice, right acts, and godly service towards others in the community. So many young people today are caught up in their own needs and their wants that they can forget about others. Many community organisations, from Scouts and Guides to Rotary and Lions, are struggling for members today because of this insular, individualistic focus of the younger generations. The example of many elderly who have served faithfully in the community in various service groups, community groups, or just individually, who have made a positive contribution is inspirational. Living the Christian life is not only doing the things we do in the confines of the church and the church family, but actually being out there in the world. Simeon was old and he had a good reputation in the community. Simeon also lived a Spirit-filled life. Luke writes that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this was the days before Pentecost, when God's Spirit was upon him. So Simeon was especially blessed to have received the Holy Spirit before all the people did at Pentecost. And so, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts. These words from Luke about Simeon challenge us to think about ourselves and to ask ourselves the questions, well, what empowers me? How has God blessed me? How has God guided me? You know, over the years of my ministry, I've been really blessed to hear many stories from elderly Christians of the way God has empowered them, blessed them, and guided them through life. How he rescued them, how he healed them, and how he has led them to be at the right place at the right time. Many young people today question the Christian faith and ask, does it work? But the faithful witness of those with experience can certainly answer this question affirmatively. Luke writes about Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon lived his life with God-ordained purpose. His purpose was to see the Messiah, the promised Christ, the chosen King of Israel. And this Messiah would be the consolation of Israel, that is, the comforter of Israel. And you see, things weren't going very well for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard from God for centuries, and they were under Roman rule. They had lost their political independence and were living in fear of the crafty, capable, and cruel King Herod, and were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. But Simeon knew and he believed that he was on his way. And his expectation focused on the comfort that the Messiah would bring. Among the Jews of the day, one of the popular titles of the Messiah was Comforter. To see this Comforter was Simeon's life purpose. Now, many people today live their lives with little hope and little purpose. I've met many elderly Christians who have lived life large and to the full because they knew God's purposes for their lives or had seen God fulfill his purposes in their lives as they lived for him. And this is a wonderful gift to be able to pass on to generations to come. To know God so well that you know his plan and purpose for your life, or recognize it as it takes shape. For Simeon, his faith wasn't lived out in the church, but in the world. And it was from out in the world that he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go up to the temple. And there he met the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, the baby Jesus, just 2.5 months old. Can you imagine his joy as he takes that baby in his arms and says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." You know, God was faithful. Simeon did see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, before he died. He had fulfilled his life's purpose. He could go and die in peace. And there can be nothing more satisfying in life than dying having fulfilled God's purposes for your life. Simeon achieved this. And it was not a testimony to Simeon's faithfulness, but to God who always fulfills his promises. This is the God Simeon witnesses to, and this is the God the young need to know about today from elderly, experienced Christians. And because Simeon received the fullness of God's promises to him in the baby that he held, Simeon blessed his parents and prophesied concerning the salvation that he would bring, that some would reject him and fall, and some would accept him and rise, that he would experience opposition in his life to his being salvation, and that his life would reveal the motives of people's hearts. And just as Jesus would experience pain and suffering in bringing salvation, so would Mary, his mother, experience hurt. Now, after this encounter between Simeon and the Holy Family occurred, another elderly person arrived on the scene. Her name was Anna, and she was a prophetess. And she was of fine Jewish background, and as a result of being widowed very early in life, she dedicated her life to a ministry of worship, fasting, and prayer in the temple. She was looking forward to the same person as Simeon was, but with a different orientation. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. Verse 38 says, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." The word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. The Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from Egyptian slavery stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, Passover pointed ahead to a day when God would provide deliverance from the slavery of sin. And in the baby Jesus, Anna saw that Redeemer, the one who would save God's people from their sin, body, soul, and spirit. You know, Simeon held in his hands the future of the world. He'd seen and touched it. He's satisfied, and that's enough. And then Anna, also old and approaching the end of her life, adds her own joy and praise and prophecy to the moment. And pretty soon she'll be telling everyone about this baby she saw for only a few minutes. Well, by the time this baby Jesus returns home with his parents and grows up and finally enters the stage of history, Simeon and Anna will be long dead. And some of the other players in the Christian story will also be dead. Probably most of the shepherds, the wise men, and definitely Joseph, his father. 30 years will pass before the gospel story recommences from here with the ministry of Jesus. And those who witnessed him as the Savior back then, who worshipped him as the Savior and proclaimed him as the Savior, would only know what they had seen and heard back then. A little baby in arms, powerless, speechless, a newcomer to the world. And whatever salvation that baby might work is still back then only a promise and a hope. Nothing will happen yet for many years. You know, in this world of economic decline, recession, and even depression, with the breakdown of family and society, with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, with hospital waiting lines growing longer and jobs drying up, there's no better time for the faithful elderly of the church to take the young in their hands and pronounce the hope and the future that is in Jesus Christ. In these dark times, to be agents of life and promise, not darkness and extinction. To live and share the Jesus life with those who so need it. After all, it got many of them and their parents through two world wars, a depression, and a Holocaust last century, among many other tragedies and atrocities. After his presentation in the temple, Jesus was taken back to Nazareth by his parents, and there he grew up. Things went along as normal for 30 years. But then everything changed. The light began to shine. Salvation began his ministry. Jesus was on the path of salvation, which was also the path of suffering, to give us forgiveness of all our sins and comfort for all the hurts and pains physically and emotionally that the brokenness of this world has inflicted upon us. Simeon and Anna lived their lives in this comfort and forgiveness. And as we learn again from them today, we can too, because the elderly, those with experience, still have a lot to teach the young, and the young still have a lot to learn. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful examples of Simeon and Anna. May what we have heard this morning be food for thought, so that indeed we may put into action your salvation as we live and share the Jesus life, especially with the younger generations. So bless our hearing of this word and our doing of it. In your name and to your glory, Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.